Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropfen den Regen auf mein Kopf. Pink wie ein Deckel, muss es die kleine Farbe im Topf. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropfen.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold, and this week we have part two of my interview with Modi, and we're going to be having a part three, a surprise live podcast with Modi coming up as well. So I hope you enjoy that. I just also want to let you know, this is a very big week for me. It is my birthday. On the 15th, which is tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, it is on Wednesday, the 15th. And on the 20th, Monday, I'm getting my knee replaced. But I'll talk to you before then. But I'm getting my knee replaced. My left knee, it's about time. I can barely effing walk on it. It's hell. So it's a big week for me. It's a big week, and Sunday I can't eat most of the day because the surgery's on Monday, and I'm going to be hangry and annoyed all fucking day long. Anyway, so that's what's going on. I just also want to let you know that I was in Atlanta on Saturday, on the 11th, and I performed at the Marcus Jewish Community Center. And it was such an amazing show. A lot of people showed up. It was packed. We had to move to the gym, out of the theater into the gym because so many people came. And it was just, you know, it's so weird doing these Jewish shows. I mean, Jews love comedy, and I do a lot of shows at Jewish community centers and theaters inside the Jewish community centers and benefits for Jews, because we, you know, we've used laughter and humor as a coping mechanism for a very, very long time. it's different now. I mean, people are really in a different place. And it's, you know, we could talk about endlessly about what's going on in the Middle East, but the anti-Semitism, just the blatant, the out of control, it's as if it was just waiting to burst, this anti-Semitism, is so, so upsetting to so many Jews that it's hard to laugh. But I have, you know, I can't tell you how many people said thank you and that this is exactly what they needed. And they didn't know if they could laugh, but they did. And I definitely feel it in the clubs when I talk about being Jewish. It's a different experience. It really is. People are openly anti-Semitic. And it's a scary, scary time. So if you haven't reached out to your Jewish friends, you know, it's a little late on your part, but I'm sure that they would appreciate it. And I'm not talking about your views on Gaza and Israel, and I'm not talking about that. It should be a separate issue, but apparently it's not. And the pulling down of posters is anti-Semitic. The willful ignorance about what is going on in the Middle East is disgusting. It is disgusting. And the fact that people, you know, are such experts, you know, it's just, I mean, to me, it's incredible that people have these uneducated opinions. Get off fucking TikTok. Get off that shit. That's not where you go to learn. The misinformation, it's just so upsetting. But I just want to say, the anti-Semitism, you got to stick up for the Jews, because your lives would be shit without the contribution that Jews have made. It's totally shit. And you know, the people who hate the Jews so much should have to live without the contribution we've made. Okay? And see how fucking, you know, how great your life is. It's just, I can't. I could go on and on, but I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna, because you know what? I have Modi on. So, I mean, how Jewy can you get? How Jewy can you get? So, yeah. I also want to say that I am going to see Elisa, my lover, is taking me to see Harmony on my birthday, which is the new Barry Manilow musical that he wrote with Sussman. I can't remember Sussman's first name because I'm so tired. Let's see. But anyway, so she's taking me to see Harmony on Broadway, which, you know, it's Bruce Sussman. I knew it was Bruce, but I was not sure. Anyway, so we're going to see that on my birthday. It's about a singing group. Three of the members were Jews, and the Holocaust, and the Jews, and the Holocaust, and the Jews. And so we were, you know, we went to Ben's game. I flew in from Atlanta early Sunday, and then we drove to Connecticut to see Ben play basketball. And we were at dinner, and Ben and his girlfriend Samantha, both, when I mentioned that I was going to see Harmony, had no idea who Barry Manilow is. And you know, that makes me want to kill myself. It really doesn't, but it's like Barry Manilow is such a big part of my life and my soundtrack of my life that I can't fucking believe that my kids don't know who Barry Manilow is. It was bad enough years ago when Ben had all his friends over in, I think it was in middle school, and they didn't know who Barbara Streisand was. I mean, it's really, yeah, it's mind-boggling. But, you know, I knew all my parents, maybe because I was just a nerd, that I knew all my parents, you know, the Andrews sisters. I mean, I knew a lot of the Ink Spots. I mean, they're, whatever. I'm old. I'm old. And, you know, now I'm older because I'm going to be 61. But anyway, that's that. So listen, enjoy my interview, my second part of my interview with Modi. He's very entertaining, as am I, and we're old friends. So sit back, relax, and enjoy part two of my interview with Modi. So you graduate. I mean, how do you become an investment banker? Like, how do you get a job at Merrill Lynch with that degree? And by the way, you also went to Yeshiva's Bell School of Music to study cantoral music.
Yeah, so now I moved to New York City. Right. I had this job.
Were you in BU with Elon Gold?
Same time.
Because I remember when he was in college and I would work in Boston a lot. And I remember his senior year and he opened for me. So yeah, that's hilarious that you went to school together.
So
yeah.
Funny. Elon and I went to BU. I was a Chabad guy. I went to the Chabad house and he was a Hillel guy. But we crossed paths once in a while and someone would tell me, oh, he's a comedian. He wants to be a comedian. I go, what does that mean? You can tell jokes. What? Really? Mm-hmm. You have to understand, my first time at a comedy club is my first time performing.
Yes, I know. We'll get to that. Shut up. Don't bing. Okay. I have that. But you go.
Can we take a minute? Can we take a minute from me? Just 1 second from me.
Oh, because I haven't been talking about you at all.
No, I want to take a break from me.
Oh, from you.
And discuss with all the gays in your life, you couldn't find someone to help you decorate that room.
Okay. First of all, you fucking fuck. My friend's child is staying here. Okay.
Okay.
So
those of you only listening, allow me to describe the room.
No, please. It's in. We just painted. We're cleaning it out. We're going to be putting up stuff. But my friend's child is staying here. So the sofa is now a bed. Shut the fuck up. He's 19 years old and he studies opera at Oberlin and he's a Jew. Okay. It's not a great room right now. Okay. But it usually looks good. Go fuck yourself. All I see is a black wall behind you. You're so judgy.
You're saying this is our art. This is our
okay,
art.
Okay, great. Okay.
You curse so much.
I know.
You and Priel curse so much.
I don't know. It's been since I'm a little girl. I used to get in trouble for it. I got the belt. I used to get in so much trouble, but I'm telling you. Okay. So you get a job at Merrill Lynch as an investment banker. How do you go from psychology to investment banking?
Okay, so I got a job first in psychology. I was working at this mental health clinic thing. And then my friend said that they were hiring before Merrill Lynch, I got a job at ING. It's his Dutch bank. And I came on as like an intern on the FX desk, on the derivatives FX desk. I knew nothing about it, but I learned. And I worked with a guy. So this is how long ago this was. I worked with a guy who used to smoke
in the office, of course.
This is just for context. This is 1992-3, right, which was already the end of that smoking indoors. Yeah. But he was such a high producer
that they allowed him to. It's like Dave Chappelle in the comedy clubs. He could.
Yes. So now, my mother, until my bar mitzvah, used to smoke three packs a day.
Wow.
And so smoke, I could be in a room full of smoke without even feeling it. I was his assistant for half a year. No one lasted that long.
And now And you have lung cancer. Good night, everybody. Okay, go ahead.
Good job. And then I got my licenses, my Series 7, 63, commodities,
I have ADHD too, and undiagnosed. Now it's been diagnosed, of course. But was it hard to learn all that, or was it easy because it's so mathy, quickie?
As you know, somebody with ADHD and dyslexia, we learn tricks.
Yeah.
I also stutter. I just had breakfast with my friend Arthur Luxembourg, and he's a trial lawyer with a very strong stutter, but you learn tricks.
Right.
For example,
yeah.
So we talked about that actually. Biden's a stutterer, and he also knows tricks, right. But he's a little old now and forgetting his tricks. So for example, the letter M, L, and S. I can never start a sentence with those letters.
Okay.
So if someone asks me, what's your name? I never say Modi.
So my name is.
I have to be.
Oh, no, you can't say my.
No.
You can't.
I am Modi.
Right.
I'm already
M. Wow.
Right? Is there a protest happening
right now,
in this
I live
room,
off of Amsterdam right? Avenue. It's so fucking annoying. Go ahead. Sorry.
And so in banking, I learned all the tricks that I had to learn there. When someone would put an order in my mind, I knew I had to verify the number 5 times. So I would write it down. And of course, which is also could be a disaster because sometimes if they say 5,136 shares, in me, the 1 and the 3 could be switched
one three, one six, five.
So I had like so many ways to verify and check myself. I had all the tricks.
Right.
You learn tricks.
Right.
Being ADHD and dyslexic, you learn tricks to do it. And I learned all those tricks.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. I got my licenses. If you think my mother was impressed from Fiddler on the Roof, when I told her I got
imagine.
All my licenses.
I know. So you pass all these things and you're an investment banker.
Because
yeah.
let me tell you something, because all her friends were all trying to get into this business. All her friends' sons and they were all failing this exam. So when I came to her and told her I passed all these exams, she was like, what?
And
that
know
was
what?
It. Yeah.
Then she was like, you know, my son. Modi, he passed all the exams. Modi, he's so what? Mm-hmm. I love the Modi. Okay, so anyway, and I remember you when you worked at Merrill Lynch, but we're not going to get there, but we're going to say that you still no idea about performing, but you would come home and you would imitate your coworkers or you would imitate them at work, and your friend Donnie Moss.
Who for 1 minute was going to be a comedian ended up opening for you, and he opened for you in P-Town or somewhere, and his entire recollection, if you could sum up his comedy, he said to me, when I opened for Judy Gold, she goes, go do 15 minutes and then you can go get your dick sucked in the dunes.
At the dick dock. Yeah.
What the dick? That's his entire, he said, if he, that's his, he did comedy for a minute. He was very funny. He was a very Wendy Liebman type of comic, you know, like blah, 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 you know, that. And, but he opened for you and he said he'll never forget that. Just do 15 minutes and you can go get your dick sucked in the dunes.
Hey, everybody. If you know me, you know I love my liquid IV, and I love giving it to people and telling people about it, and it's part of my everyday life. I keep hydrated with liquid IV. I put it in my water bottle. Well, I have this one water bottle that I use only for liquid IV, and I put lots of ice in it and cold water because I like it very cold. And it keeps me hydrated and it's delicious. So thank you, Liquid IV. And I have to tell you, I've now given it to my son's girlfriend because, you know, they go out partying. You know what I'm talking about. And it has helped her immensely with her dehydration, that it's great for those nights where you know you're going to be having a few drinks. It's delicious. It comes in pear, white peach, grape, lemon lime. Also, there's a lemon ginger one that is great that has a little caffeine. I just love Liquid IV. And you need to keep hydrated. It's very important. It affects you on so many levels. So do yourself a favor. Keep hydrated in the best way possible. Some people hydrate to live. Some people live to hydrate. I think I live to hydrate. Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. It has 3 times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks, 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness. And this is true. They have a sugar-free stick. They have Liquid IV sugar-free that Elisa, my lover, loves. I don't use the sugar-free. Whatever. But it's also been great for my traveling because I get very dehydrated on my airplane flights. So please, you've heard me say this multiple times. Go get your Liquid IV. You have to keep hydrated. It's very important. So however you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV hydration multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at liquidiv.com. You're welcome. At this time, now, this is the 90s, and you know you're gay at this point, right? You knew in college, but now you're actively being a gay man, but not telling anyone.
Easy.
No, I'm not judgy. I'm saying that you are, okay. I'm not being judgy. I'm saying a lot of people felt threatened.
So I remember
I'm like, I know he's gay, but then you would have like girlfriend. Like I would think, oh, yeah.
Okay. So officially I'm bi.
Right.
Leo, my husband calls me a highly functioning bisexual. Okay. That's how he refers to me. I had boyfriends and girlfriends, and I brought them to the Comedy Cellar. Yeah. The comics all knew I was gay. Right. They didn't know if I was coming in with a guy or a girl. And it was completely – on stage, I was just a big Jew. Right. I didn't talk about any of that stuff. I never had a joke. My girlfriend did this. My boyfriend did that.
You're talking to someone. I came out in 96 on stage as a gay parent. Right. But before that, everyone knew I was a big lesbo. But I didn't have any jokes. I was in a relationship. Like, really, it wasn't part of my persona. And I was working in the straight clubs, and it wasn't something I wrote material about. And then once I had a child and I was a gay parent, and it was like, oh, How do I not talk about this on stage? I have to. And what kind of message does it give my children where I'm like, oh, no, we just don't talk about it. No, I want you to be proud of this family. So you were going through that period of time that I went through in the 80s of, you know, everyone kind of knows you, but you don't talk about it on stage. And it's fine. But I also remember you always being in a really nice looking suit because you were working all the time. You know, you would come from Merrill Lynch. I was like, God, he's like dressed. He's like Armani. Like, you know,
I was doing open mics and whatever it was coming from Merrill Lynch in a suit. One time I spoke to you about this on my podcast, but I was on a show with you at a bar called Uncle Charlie's.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I showed up in a suit in this gay bar.
Gay.
And then you were like looking at me, and you had some like quick comments about the suit and whatever. And then it was just very, very funny. It was just, but yeah, I used to come from the bank directly and go do my spots. Right. And, which is today why I'm much more comfortable on stage with a suit. And that's a persona that I've made. And by the way, I just did, you know, I had the tour in Israel. I had 6 shows in Israel and then 4 shows in Paris. And I had to schlep 4 right. suits with me.
I know. That's what people don't understand with my suitcases. I don't dress like a slob.
On the day, yeah, you don't. You actually pull it together for stage. On the day that my show was canceled.
That I hate you so much right now. Go ahead.
Okay, and then I
go ahead.
On the day my show was canceled in Paris, Matteo Lane, like again, that's a part of my comedy right. family as well. He was doing a show, and I went and I did 20 minutes before him. I opened for him.
Oh, awesome!
Have you seen how he's dressed? A crop top.
Oh yeah.
No sleeves. I know. A pair of jeans from 1980, yeah. And he could pack for a 9-week tour in a knapsack.
Right. I know.
I'm with Valises.
I don't understand it.
It's
You're from the same school as me, and that I always put on makeup and I always put on an outfit because I feel like it's my job, and these people are paying a lot of money, and I remember a Catch a Rising Star in the late 80s. Adam Sandler comes in, and he's like, you know, 19, whatever. I don't know. He was very young. And he comes in and he's wearing sweatpants and like total slob. And Louis Ferranda says, he was the bartender. And
then I know Louis Ferranda.
Yes, no, I'm saying for the audience, he was the bartender at Catch, but then he became the booker at Caroline's. But he says to me, he's going to be a really big star. I'm like, look at him. He didn't even shower. And of course, you know, he was right.
Yeah,
I know. It's just so funny. Like, you know, I don't know. I think it's a Jew thing. Look nice. Da, da, da. Okay. So, and
I will listen. I one of my gurus in life, RuPaul, says if you want to put a suit
right.
on, people take
like
you
Tony
more seriously.
Like Tony Deo does too.
And I'll tell you something. Even up the suit. So when I began doing comedy, the tail end of the Catskills was going on, and
I know this story.
I used to get booked.
Yeah,
I used to book. They booked me nonstop at these like 5 different hotels, nonstop.
Yeah.
Same act. I did the same act, and they loved it. And I had in the back of the car, I had 2 tuxedos.
Wow.
And the shirt. And it's tuxedo. Couldn't be easier. I got there, put this thing on.
And
I wore tuxedo with a black tie.
Yeah.
With a black tie. Not with a bow tie, a black tie.
Right.
Woo! That was cutting edge. And I would just do the shows. They loved it. It was tuxedo. A tuxedo.
Yeah. I mean, I love
that. You almost got me to say the F word. Yeah.
Oh, shut up. So you're one of your mentors is someone I worked with, who gave me some amazing advice was Alan King. And, I worked with him and he told me
what?
That I was working. We did this thing at Harvard. It was me and him and, oh God, who was it? It was, Paul Rodriguez, from the Carol Burnett show. Anyway, and it was for PBS and I was the one female comic and I was working at Rosie and he said, no, you cannot write for other people. You are a performer. And he said, I did it. I wrote for other people. I'm telling you. And he, you know, he was like, don't go down that path of writing, which I took his advice and God, if I had gone down that path, I would have such a nice apartment that you wouldn't be fucking criticizing, you fucking asshole. Anyway.
Or you'd be on strike right
now. Well,
how's that?
Well, I was in the, I'm in the writer's club, but anyway, so you, you had comedic influences, although you had no idea you were going to become a comedian and you start doing stand up in the 90s. Because Donnie tells you, this is funny, you should do comedy. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking? I don't even know. And he takes you to a comedy show that you're in, and you go up and start telling these stories. And now when you got your first reaction, that first laugh that night, and you said it was like when you did Fiddler, but was that when you said, listen, I'm not going down this Maryland, I can't do this Maryland shit. I mean, did you? No.
I'll give it to you. I never even thought this through, but great way you set me up. You're very good at this thing.
Thank you.
I'm at Merrill Lynch. I come home, and me and Donnie and whoever friends we were with, I would tell the stories of the secretaries and the accents, and they would die. Donnie said, you got to do this on stand-up. I go, what do you mean? At that point, the only people I've ever seen do stand-up was on HBO, Bill Cosby, that amazing special he had where he sits in a chair.
Yeah, he's a great guy, too. Really fantastic person.
Amazing guy. Yeah. Love him. Really, really.
A quality person.
A Doug Machaya. Really.
A mensch.
So that was the only comedy I saw. And then one time I saw Buddy Hackett.
I opened for him, either at the Concord or Grossinger's. Yeah.
So I never really saw stand-up comedy.
Right.
And then I never saw how it works.
Right.
I never saw, back then it wasn't on TV like it is nonstop now. That was the only two things. I only had reference of comedians. I get on stage. I wasn't doing comedy. I was doing what I did at the table. Then Kerry Hoffman,
Coffee Breathman, we called him.
Coffee Breathman.
That's what we used to call him.
It was his club. Yeah. He happened to be in the room and he said, that was very, very funny. You have to understand, it wasn't Jewish. It was just over the top.
Oh, I remember.
Literally.
Modi. I remember.
To be honest with you, it was drag without a,
yes,
without
100%.
Without a dress. It was drag without a dress. Oh my God.
And I have to say, knowing you for so long, I've seen how your comedy has changed and developed. And you were such a performer in the beginning, but you didn't have the craft, because it takes 10, 15 years for the craft. So you were really pushing it. You pushed it a lot. And now you're so much more nuanced. And it's so nice to see, like, I love watching the development like that, but I knew you were, he gets the audience in the palm of his hands. You were compensating for the lack of experience but you got all of that experience and you're so nuanced but you were killing.
And lack of a voice.
Yeah, but you were killing. I was the same way. I was this like tall, loud Jew. But once you work on the craft and the craft and the craft and get on stage and the craft and the jokes and the bring the story up, don't write on stage.
So,
yeah.
So to just summarize what you're saying is this. I was right in the beginning, I was closing the shows at Stand Up New York and at the Comic Strip. And it was because
No one wanted to follow you.
Right. But what wasn't developed was the voice.
Right.
And then when the voice developed, it became a Jewish voice, not a gay voice.
Right.
And that's how that went into, but yeah. And keep in mind, one of the things is I still didn't want to be a comic. It wasn't it was like a fun thing that I was doing.
You never took it seriously.
So I was like, I don't care. I got nothing to lose. Let me go sugar on the stage here. Let me go wild here. I don't care. Other comics were like, oh my God, that joke didn't land. Oh my God, I'm not going to get in the spot.
I know. You didn't have that. I mean, which is, I think you're pretty lucky that you didn't have to deal with that shit. Because, you know, you did a very Jewish thing, which is, you know, my mother was like, you have to have health. I would work during the day. I'd barter at places for health insurance. So I was a typesetter. I typed really fast and they don't have typesetters anymore, but that's what I would do. And I'd work enough hours so I had health insurance and then I'd go out and do my stand up. But I wasn't one of the comics who was not working you know, not taking care of themselves financially and then complaining. So we come from sort of the same, you know, being
again,
responsible.
Looping it back to why I loved Alan King.
Right.
Alan King's comedy was not, I'm a struggling
right.
performer. He was like, I'm doing shows with Judy Garland and right. this and that. I bought a house in Great Neck.
Right.
I'm producing shows here. He was from a place of success.
Success, entrepreneurship.
Not, he wasn't from a place of, I can't get my rent, so I can't
right,
this and
right.
that. It was more, it yes. was, I like this, I like that. And the cadence and the,
oh,
the
yeah.
timing.
He was a great
yeah.
joker and a great guy. I loved him.
Yeah.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. It you don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're like dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by four PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit, I said shit, on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent, did you like that? Senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co. And it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome. I know we're supposed to wrap it up, but I have to ask you a few more things. Number one, I can't believe, I mean, and I worked the Catskills too. A lot of us did. I would do the midnight show. And then finally you got graduated to the other show. But, you know, it was such a lesson because if you want a tough audience, those fucking Catskill audience, they just don't laugh. It's like, too bad. They don't, they're not polite.
When you get them.
Yeah.
You'll never have a high like that again. Yeah.
The theme song of my podcast is the Barry Sisters singing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head in Yiddish.
Oh.
And that's the theme of my podcast. That's our theme song, and which is probably illegal, but I don't care. I love the Barry. And you opened for Claire Barry at the fucking last weekend. The Concord was...
Yep.
I just... Can you believe these people we got to meet?
Oh, Claire. Sorry.
Stop. Are you kidding me? Come on. Freddie Roman, Alan King. Stewie Stone, Zecharia Levracha. Comics that
Henny
were
Morsh.
Henny Youngman, Shecky Green. I have a picture of me, you, Pat Cooper. Caesar, what's his name? Sid Caesar. We did a show for the Friars Club.
Yeah.
We did a show. I have a picture.
Oh my God,
can you
send me
Alan
that?
King.
We'll use this as the clip.
Wait. Yeah. Stop. What's the name of the other guy? He bombed that night. He's the guy that has the bit, I can't stop my leg.
It wasn't Kevin Meaney, was it?
No, Kevin Meaney was hilarious.
Who did I can't stop my legs?
He did. He had like 9 HBO specials. He always did the same bit. I can't stop my leg. Whatever. Anyway, he was on the show and bombed. And Pat Cooper came on.
Oh,
and
so
Pat Cooper's
funny.
Opening
Robert
line.
Klein. Robert Klein.
Robert Klein died so bad that night.
Wow.
Pat Cooper comes. So Robert Klein bombed. Bombed. And then Pat Cooper comes
Robert
on.
Robert Klein, another guest.
Stands. Looks at the audience, a dead silence, and says, I'm here to tell you that Robert Klein's funny. And the audience died. Another thing that happened that night, Henny Youngman was in the audience, yeah, in a wheelchair in the audience. And Freddie Roman said, ladies and gentlemen, we have tonight here the legend Henny Youngman, hands him the mic. From the wheelchair on the thing, he did 10 minutes of nonstop ding, ding, ding jokes.
Yeah.
I'll find the picture. I have to tell you,
I loved those Friars. I mean, I love that. Again, it's someplace I would be going right now for lunch, considering what's going on in this, but it's not open anymore. But it being a woman in those shows, like I was the Jewish woman, it was challenging sometimes.
I never thought of it, but it was always like five guys and they put you or Corey Kahaney on, and that was it.
And
yeah,
that was it. And we had to be like very effusive
or Wanda
to them.
Sykes Hall, yeah. Or Wanda Sykes Hall to show how
no,
diverse
you don't say
they
Hall
can
anymore.
Be.
You don't say Hall anymore.
What is
it's
it?
It's just Wanda
what
Sykes.
What is it?
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah, you better be fucking sorry. So
I'm sorry. I love her.
I know I love her too. But then she was that. Okay.
We have to have
another podcast because I have to talk to you about what it's like to be out in the Orthodox community, which is and the Jewish community.
Okay, so we'll do another podcast, but we should end this up like but I want people to listen to this podcast. And again, it's in the middle of a war. And the reason we talked a little bit about it in the beginning and the rest was just nothing about the war, just so that you could have an hour of just
not
your brain
right.
not in it. People, I love nothing. I love more when people come to tell me, we listen to your podcast, you know what? And it's just an amazing hour to just not have to think about.
Okay.
And thank you for just, yeah.
I love you, Modi. We're like brother
I love
and
you
sister.
Too,
okay, just yeah. tell the audience why I always ask what you do for your mental health.
I exercise.
Yeah, same.
The gym. If I can give some pieces of advice, and not that people ask me, but when you go to the gym, don't be like, ugh, I have to do right. this because I ate muffins last night and I had pancakes 2 days ago. Go to the gym to celebrate what your body
right.
can do. Even if you're picking up a five-pound weight, go, thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to be able to do
right.
this and enjoy it.
And
whatever
you feel so
you
good
do,
when
do,
you're done.
And you feel amazing when you're done. And, you know, again, half the challenge is just to get there.
I know.
And you get there and then do whatever
always
you
the
can
right
your
thing.
House.
Whatever. Yeah.
Always the right, yeah, and that's yeah.
Okay, the last question we ask because it's called Kill Me Now is what pisses you off more than anything in the entire world? Like, what makes you crazy mad? It could be anything.
People's dogs in the city. It's out of control. Barking dogs.
And shit.
I live in a building.
I have so many
the
dogs in my
control,
fucking building.
Too.
I walk out of my door and it's like. Wah, 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 wah.
It's the barking of the dogs is not okay.
Yeah.
Your dogs are not I know you think you're saving the world by this rescue, this free dog you got. It's driving me insane. We had a situation here. Luckily, it's resolved. But a barking dog, if you're in the Hamptons, have a dog. If you're in Manhattan, your dog is barking because you left the apartment and it's an emotional mess. It's not okay. You are affecting the quality of life of other people. And that's it's. And I don't know why. This is I'm sure if I knew this question was going to be asked, I'd have something better.
All right. Well, next time we.
What was the question again?
What pisses you off more than anything in the entire world? Makes you crazy.
Hamas. But I wanted to get something a little more specific. But obviously, because I know people are gonna be like, kids are being kidnapped in Israel, and you're worried about dogs. I'm like, really?
I know. It's you can't say anything anymore. You can't say anything, no. And it's always but. But when you say, when you say Israel, when you defend, you know, oh my God, these hostages. It's always yes, but. But when you say something about innocent Palestinians, it's not, but, you know, ever.
And I'm going to also say that our audience, by the way, really came through. I had those shows right after the war broke out. I have shows coming up and we made an announcement that, look, we're doing the shows. Proceeds will be given to the FIDF and we sing Hatukbah at the shows. And I never got back anything like, how can you do shows? How can you do shows? You know, Ilan, I spoke to Ilan. He says he can't get on stage now and do shows.
It's very hard. He doesn't. I have to because I have kids.
But I'll tell you why it's hard for him. He is in his phone and Instagram and news all day long.
Right. And he's doing this thing like stop scrolling and he's scrolling. So he's got a.
Yeah. No, that was a very nice post he did with the Torah scroll.
Absolutely.
And the two portions.
I love that. I love that.
Modi,
we got to do another one. I think that a bunch of us should actually do one. Jewish comics speak out. And because, you know, and Leo's adorable. I love him.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
He loves you.
I love him. Modi, thank you.
I don't know when it's airing. Everybody, I have a tour coming out.
Oh, yeah.
ModiLive.com.
Yeah, ModiLive.com.
ModiLive.com. I have a whole bunch of dates all over America between February and the summer. You will.
Oh, I'm 60. Okay, go ahead. Oh, I'll be 61 when this.
Kenina Hara.
Whatever, I'm old. You'll see.
I said Kanina Hara. You could hit a bell for the Kanina Hara. So get your tickets. Not only that, be the friend that brings the friends to the comedy show. When you see me or Judy selling a show, buy a bunch of tickets.
Yeah.
And be the one that be like, hey, what are you doing? I got a ticket for you. It's such an amazing gift to give people. What are you gonna bring over a challah?
Exactly. Bring people to laugh.
I brought you a bottle of wine. No, I got two tickets for you and whoever your significant other is or that mess you're dating. Bring them. I got you covered. Be the friend that brings the friends to a comedy
and
show.
And call your Jewish friends and tell them you love them.
ModiLive.com, ModiLive.com. And I have a podcast too, which Judy's on. Very good episode
with Judy.
And here's Modi. Yeah. Great clips
Henry.
From
that.
Yeah.
Is that he listened to that entire episode, has never listened to an episode of my podcast.
Fucking asshole. Maybe because it's hard to, he can listen, but to watch that room is very hard.
Fuck you.
You.
Love you. Thank you.
By the way, I'm so, my happiest thing from the end of COVID was I was able to stop saying stay safe.
Oh, I know.
But now stay safe is back.
Ugh, I know, God. It's awful. Thank you so much for listening to part two of my interview with Modi. This wonderful podcast is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling, marketed, clipped, everything else by Brittany Jo Sowards Richmond. I'm not going to be plugging any shows, although I should plug the show that I have coming up on December 16th at the South, it's SOPAC. It's the South Orange Performing Arts Center in South Orange, New Jersey on December 16th with the amazing Liz Glazer. So that's going to be a nice Hanukkah show.
So that will be my next big gig after my knee replacement. Oh, yeah. So let's hope that goes well. I want to thank you all so much for listening. If you're listening to the end, I love you. I just want there to be peace, and I don't want to walk around in fear. But I'm a changed person. I think every Jew you know is a changed person. Even the Jews that weren't even Jewy are a little more Jewy now. It's interesting how that happens. But, you know, pray for peace. No one wants any of these innocent people dying anywhere. I mean anywhere. I mean in Israel, in Gaza, in other places where this happens all the time and it's not reported. Yeah. War is terrible, prejudice is terrible, and, you know, I wish the world was a simple place, but it's not. Anyway, so that's that. That's that. I'm an old Jew, and I love you so much for listening. And what else do I have to tell you? Nothing. I know I sound a little nasally because I haven't slept in a few days, and this is what happens to my nasal Jewish voice. So thank you all so, so much. Thank you for reaching out. I hope you're following me on the Insta at Judy Gold, JewDyGold. And, you know, I don't even go on X anymore. I do. I check it sometimes, but I don't know. It's annoying. But I'm into the Insta. So follow me. I'm doing some fun stuff on there. And I don't know what else to tell you except thank you. Again, and as we always say, so long.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.